SSA Marine is one of the leading cruise terminal operators in North America. With activities at more than 24 port locations, visit us at booth 1433 to learn more about our collaborative approach to development, investment, and operations across a wide array of cruise services.
Have you ever wanted to know how is that done on board, or who's really behind the various initiatives that take place within the bars and restaurants at sea? Or how do trends in hospitality really impact the F&B experiences that are fantastic and that guests enjoy while cruising? Then Eat Drink Cruise is your podcast. Sustainability, unique and distinct experiences, reshaping beverage consumption, culinary innovation, supply and demand in today's commercial world, and the people that make all of this happen is actually what our Eat Drink Cruise podcast aims to cover. In 2024, the outlook for cruising expects to see over 35 million guests on board, which is a 12% increase year on year, according to Cruise Lines International Association. And so this podcast really becomes a sneak peek behind the scenes of a dynamic industry, whether you're a cruise expat or a successful supplier or newcomer supplier or just an F&B fanatic. Bite-sized conversations are what this podcast are all about. My name is Ken Taylor, and welcome to the show. We have a great lineup of different players throughout the business, including operators and consultants and influencers. It's a holistic perspective on the status of cruise F&B today. We're talking today about a brand that's really made a splash in the last few years, a new brand in the business, Virgin Voyages. And, you know, when you look online and do a little kind of investigation, if you're a customer, many obviously people are doing that, it really is kind of a breath of fresh air. And I think if you're talking to a Virgin Voyages employee or executive team member, you're probably going to hear that, you know, it's a new something about a new perspective on what really cruising can be. And I think that's maybe been, you know, at the base of how this product got put together. So who better to talk to than one of the guys who's been around this brand since the beginning, I believe, is Charles Stedman. Charles, you've been there since the beginning and putting this together for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. I can start with a piece of paper and a pen.
Yeah.
It is a pretty blank piece of paper from that side, but no, it's been very exciting to kind of be brought into the fold. And you know, we actually started with a two ship order, then went to three, then went to four, so we definitely put the cart in front of the horse, and now we got the horse back in front.
That's awesome. Charles is director of food and beverage experiences and strategic partnerships, so for, you know, close to my heart is food and beverage, and many people that sail, the sailors that join or make a decision to cruise on Virgin Voyages, I know are thinking about the food and beverage offering. And, you know, it's important. I think it's a focus probably for all the cruise lines. So we kind of focus on that with this podcast. Thank you very much, Charles, for joining us. You live in Miami, but I understand you've been a long time in Chicago. So you're a transplant to Florida from Chicago.
Yes, I found the value of the ocean rather than Lake Michigan. So Although Chicago has a great food scene, a great food and beverage scene, you know, and there's a lot of great restaurant groups that have originated from there. But I do like that humidity down here to keep me young looking as much as possible.
You know, and it keeps you healthy and it keeps your skin good, and you don't have to deal with the winters in Chicago. See, you and I go to the NRA show in May, which is probably one of the best times of the year. And I don't know that I go back more than once or twice a year. I don't spend the winter there, but it is a tough city, but it is still one of my favorite cities. And as you mentioned, it's that whole F&B scene. I mean, it's just impossible to ignore. It's probably next to New York, I would think, in the US. But when you think back on Chicago, like, what do you miss now that you're a Floridian for the number of years that you've been in the state?
It's kind of like I do agree with you in terms of that, you know, kind of thread to like New York City, but I kind of feel it's wider and cleaner streets. And less of the, you know, kind of that quick movement. But from a culture perspective, from an architectural perspective, I mean, I used to spend a lot of time in, like, you know, kind of the Irish town and in kind of the South Side, and, you know, going into like the different neighborhoods, and, you know, even just doing that touristy thing of the canal tour, right, for the architectural. Yeah. It's just amazing, you know, and I kind of feel there's a more of a homesteaded kind of growth of food and beverage professionals in that area, and also from a a chef-driven concepts. You know, you're just seeing all these different areas kind of move around, similar to New York, but at the same time, I feel it's a little bit more wholesome and less cutthroat.
Yeah. So, I mean, was there a favorite restaurant that you have, or do you like when you go back to go back there this May? Do you have a spot you want to make sure you get or that you remember?
I mean, I'll give you the guilty pleasure, which if people know, they know Portillo's. For you can't go wrong with a good Portillo's, you know, hoppy sandwich. But actually, I'm very excited, you know, because they're actually going to be opening up a location down here in Miami, but Maple and Ash. Hands down, a phenomenal steakhouse. I think it's probably one of the top three brunches I've ever been to, you know, as well from a service perspective, design elements. I mean, the whole kit and caboodle. You know, from that, and I know they're opening up a location down here in Miami, so I'm very excited to see that that opening and going to support them as well. That's always a stop.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite spot in Miami? Like, where are you going right now these days?
Well, I was sad that Q closed, but right across the street is Uchi. So mm-hmm. Uchi is, I think, not just only a great restaurant, but one of the best happy hours. And then a little bit of a see and be seen spot, Mila. I think really kind of uh-huh. delivers on that Mediterranean kind of approach and indoor and outdoor. And, you know, whether you're kind of by yourself and you want to sit in the bar and kind of people watch or entertain some friends, or we sit down for dinners to celebrate, it's always just a great experience.
So this is the Eat, Drink, Cruise podcast. So we have to ask all of our guests who join us their favorite cocktail. Now there's food and, you know, we talked about some good stuff there, but so you've been putting together these bars and restaurants, the overall experiences on board Virgin since a few years now, as you are in three ships, right?
Three ships, yep. With the fourth one next year.
Three ships. And, you know, there's got to be, what is your favorite cocktail? What's your go-to drink?
Oh, Ken, that's a hard one. I mean, I've got six brothers, you know, obviously, and seven boys. God bless my mom. Kept trying for the girl. It didn't happen. It's like asking who my favorite brother is. It's probably, but he's great. It depends on the mood. You know, maybe it's the cancer sign that I am or whatever it may be from that. But right now I'm kind of on a mezcal Negroni kick. I think just in general, you're seeing kind of the agave spirits really just pick up, you know, not just in the U.S., you're seeing it in Europe and other countries as well. We just recently launched a ship down in Australia, so a lot more agave spirit kind of movement down there. Same thing in Singapore, but just that kind of, you know, earthiness and that little bit of like hints of smoke to kind of play with the bitters and the sweets and everything from that, and complexity of the vermouth is right now kind of my jam.
We're hearing that too a lot, which is kind of cool. So it takes us to bars on board Virgin. You know, the new drinking consumer, right? That's definitely something I'm sure you're talking about. And the concepts, when you look at your concepts, I'd love to hear more about the different ones. I know there's Sip, which is a champagne experience. Do you actually sell caviar?
Yeah, we do it in a few different ways, whether in the fun little cones or eggshells or the full tin. But we do in the evening a caviar service at our champagne lounge Sip.
That is, I mean, I I've spent 10 years in the business. I'm amazed and, you know, thrilled to see this. You know, that being part of an experience that guests are interested in. And it really speaks to the kind of guests that you guys attract, the sailors that you guys call them on board those ships. It's definitely a guest interested in and something unique and distinct. So, you know, there's a Dock House, Gym Tonic, Athletic Club. Is there a focus on healthy, low, and no? And I know that's a trend in today's consumers, but how do you define that?
Definitely a trend. Definitely it's something where I'm in the process of doing kind of a bigger menu review right now that'll kind of launch in early summer. And a big kind of strategic shift for that is really focusing on no and low, right? So non-alcoholic and low ABV, alcohol by volume, beverages. And I think, you know, when we look at the consumer in general, and we look at the market that we market to bring our sailors, and thanks for calling them sailors, our passengers on board, from that piece of the pie, which is very niche when it comes to these, we have a bigger piece of the pie since it's kind of adults only, you know, an adult by design, we like mm-hmm. to say. So we're definitely seeing not just from a trend perspective, but from sailor feedback and even from crew feedback of, you know, wanting more offerings from a non-alcoholic and a low alcoholic kind of spectrum. And we're actually in our Q1 well-being quarter focus, which includes a wellness social. So from 4 to 5, daily on the ships, we kind of focus on a no and low complimentary happy hour or social to really kind of bring some awareness. I think when people come on vacation, like the inhibitions go down a little bit. You know, there's a desire to try something new and different. And I think when you prime the pump with a little bit of liquid to lips moment, we do see that, you know, kind of like purchase afterwards, or that, you know, interest afterwards for people to try new things as well, which are in the no and low.
Well, in the new area of, you know, creating new experiences that, you know, break the mold, if you will, for cruising. I know that's always been an objective, and getting away from that stigma, right? And you know, there's a very competitive cruise industry out there that, you know, there are different approaches to some of the things that are being done on board from a food and beverage standpoint, but there's also some very strong familiarities that create this sort of competitiveness. And one of them is this beverage package thing that everybody's run to, which has been going on for probably 10, 12 years and does generate cruise lines beverage revenue. It certainly helps. It wasn't always thought to be the case, but I think in the end, it probably is the case. Your approach at Virgin is to offer a tab. Explain the differences of a beverage package, but not being a beverage package on board Virgin.
Yeah, and I mean, there's I've kind of four main pillars in kind of like the design of the overall, say, beverage kind of like program. And, you know, one of them is basically bringing affordable luxury, right, and choice to our sailors that come visit us on the ships. And specific to the traditional cruise package, I spent a lot of time researching, you know, and looking, and it's on a 7-day voyage or 3 sea days, you always get it. And, you know, there's formulaic, you know, kind of spreadsheets out there for everything. And it really just break it down to just one word, disruption, right? What are we after? Mm-hmm. So it's a smart disruption, kind of looking at, you know, kind of, again, that affordable luxury and finding that value, that choice of not being stuck in a, say, a box of what a package could be sometimes. And it's that differentiation, right, to really look at a more of a land-based approach to, you know, kind of purchasing beverages on the ships. You know, kind of goodbye to the menu of the same 10 wine glasses, you know, or glasses of wine across like the same, you know, kind of house wines all over, really focusing more on that specialization. So, you know, for us, we do have bar tab, which is a, you know, kind of a preload where you kind of purchase for, you know, $300 to get $50 in credit. We have a couple of different tiers from that. But it just gives you that choice, right? So you can use it all to get a beautiful bottle of champagne or nice, you know, Cabernet or whatever this, you know, or Magnum of this, but or you could, you know, buy a round of drinks for your new friends that you just met at the Draft House bar. It's, you know, not having the 2-drink maximum or the turnaround and then, well, my wife needs one now too, so I'll be right back. And you swivel around into the seat and you come back up and say, can I have my 3rd drink, please? So it is really kind of giving that choice back and just that flexibility for people to choose what they want. And, you know, even for non-alcoholic, for coffee, for juices and things like this, where we avoid having to nickel and dime with the different packages out there. Now, they're very successful and, you know, there's value to everything. But we just want to show that a little bit of that disruption and kind of give that choice back to our sailors.
And it doesn't drive consumption, which, let's be honest, you know, you are counting drinks when you buy a package and there's wastefulness there probably, you know, and I'm sure the other cruise lines would be a great conversation to have maybe in a panel discussion at either the F&B at Sea show or even in other environments where it's like, I know there's consumption, we're trying to sell product, but at the same time, it's not really on trend as much to drink a ton as the Gen Zers make their way into the drinking scene. It's really interesting to watch. So that's a very interesting perspective. And I think it's obviously successful for you guys, which is great. You're in a unique position because while many cruise lines have product development teams, you're in the experience development and it's an ongoing, you know, immersive in the operation type of a role. And it also includes these strategic partners that you get to work with to create these experiences. I'm interested in the show that you guys have launched. It's been on board for a while. It's called Dual Reality, but it's not just something you can see on board. You're actually doing this around the country. Tell me about the show.
Yeah, definitely. So dual reality is kind of our acrobatic Cirque du Soleil kind of Romeo and Juliet story. It's actually one of our original shows that we worked with to develop for the launch of Scarlet Lady, our first ship, in 2021. And, you know, a lot of, again, this, oh, you see that word again, disruption is, you know, how do we market ourselves, not just to traditional cruisers, but also bring in kind of new potential cruisers into like the pool. And a lot of that is really kind of blurring that land and sea kind of like divide, where we're going to now take one of our shows, which has been very successful, you know, for entertainment shows, and we're going to kick it off in Boston, do a multi-city tour around the U.S. and kind of bring that awareness, right, that we are a little bit different, where, you know, kind of like the mermaids, the ships, the lady ships are after, we'll have the siren song to woo people from land out to sea. So that's a great example of, you know, how we're kind of marketing into key cities and key markets, and really it's less of a demographic and more of a psychographic of, you know, millennial mindset, young at heart, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, we definitely have this approach of we welcome everyone, but we may not be for everyone. And, you know, I think part of that too is the appeal and draw of new sailors, which could, you know, have the potential to be new cruisers across, you know, other companies as well, to come into the market and really see what this experience on Virgin Voyages is about and what cruising is and how we do our take on it.
Yeah, and so art and culture, I mean, that is definitely a unique topic for cruising. And so obviously showcasing it in cities where you'd expect to see it, like you kick this off in Boston. And, you know, I think it's an interesting approach. And you guys are not unfamiliar to putting yourself in this area. I think you've been part of Art Basel. You just sort of incorporating in your, from, you know, in your DNA itself, the whole music and art, you know, kind of combination out there is part of your brand. And even with your partners, with Let's Talk Beverage partners, so Heineken Silver, for example, here's where, I mean, artists are coming on board. Explain this to me, because I think it's interesting. You know, they're coming on board and they're developing these murals. There's music. What is that promotion about?
Yeah, so this is a fun one. So obviously with not just Virgin Voyages, but Virgin as a general and Richard Branson, who's a fun, amazing, and beautiful soul, you know.
I'll interrupt you real quick. You've met Richard Branson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure everybody on the leadership team has had a chance to hang out with him, right? What's he like?
Infectious in a good way. He's very charismatic. I mean, there's just a great energy about him. And, you know, I'm definitely not like an energy woo-hoo person, but I do appreciate it. But no, just very involved. I mean, he's not in the office every single day, but he'll pop in randomly. He definitely supports all the launches, supports, you know, any initiatives and things that, you know, we're doing. Also kind of layering in, you know, we're right now we're testing out a few different itineraries throughout the Caribbean, and it happens to pass by Necker Island. So now he tends to pop on with maybe 70 of his new closest friends and have a great time and shake hands and kiss babies and, you know, no babies on board the ships, but, you know, it is something interesting where there is that level of involvement and, but very gracious. I mentioned a child at heart or kind of young at heart kind of mentality that embodies what Richard Branson is. I mean, he's in his 70s and he's in better shape than I ever was. And just gracious to everybody. He'll stop and take a picture. And if you feel uncomfortable, he'll say, "Hey, can I take a picture with you? Can we use your phone?" You know, the crew just adore him. I mean, I adore him. I mean, he's just a very gracious and amazing person to, you know, really kind of have behind the brands to promote, you know, the positivity and inclusion.
Which is great. So on the Heineken Silver, I did interrupt you on that, but so the artist comes on board, they paint the murals, but how tie that into the whole music and everything else?
Yeah. So, I mean, part of that DNA within Virgin is obviously music, art. I mean, it's a lot of these kind of fun things. So the live artist series, so this is the second year doing it, we partnered up with Heineken, folks in Heineken Silver, and the, you know, really it's just more of, you know, how do we bring this like amazing mural opportunity onto the ships? How do we then activate the space afterwards? And, you know, kind of kicks off really with like looking at, you know, let's say Heineken Silver creating an artist brief and really aligning with, you know, both brands, so you have those synergies. You know, the artist will then come on board and paint a mural, and this isn't a call out of a bottle placements or can placements or, you know, the product punching through a wall or anything like that. It's really just looking at a commissioned piece of actual art, right? You know, mm-hmm. This is what it is. And when you do hold like the Heineken Silver, the product against it, it just comes alive saying, now this makes even more sense. You know, and it is something where from that interactive kind of like, you know, kind of muraling or muralist that, you know, that comes on board, you know, there's just a lot of questions people stop and ask the artists. They're very engaging. You know, we have some great product displays just to kind of highlight that partnership. And then once that voyage is over and the mural is completed, then now we have a DJ that comes on board. And similar to the artists getting the artist brief, the DJ gets like a music brief to kind of highlight, you know, kind of like what that, you know, kind of combined brands kind of focus is. And then we'll do additional kind of DJ sets and kind of fun things in the doc space, which is where we do this. And then, you know, again, it comes alive from an art side, comes alive from a music side. You know, we do some great sampling and kind of promotion from that side as well. And then we actually have it kind of staccatoed where we'll do one mural on, let's say, Scarlet Ladyship, and then another one on the Valiant Ladyship, and then back to Scarlet for mural number two, then back to Valiant Lady for mural number, two on that ship. So it runs for about a 4-month kind of program for this, and it gives us numerous opportunities, one, to highlight, you know, our connection with not just local, you know, Miami artists, but also national and international artists. The other part, too, is, you know, also from the music scene, you know, it's kind of a fun time of year with all the different award shows and things going on. But, you know, our DJ that came on to support last month, you know, she plays like all the after parties and fun things. So it's not, you know, just like the, you know, we bring a lot of great personality on board that really are passionate about kind of, you know, whether art or music. And I think that it also, you know, aligns with the partners we select. You know, Heineken's got some great music programming, art programming, you know, and for us, again, you know, you mentioned Art Basel, like, you know, we've done programming there before as part of our blurring of land and sea. So it's just a very immersive, fun experience for our sailors. And, you know, it also just tells a great story that, you know, we really want to kind of promote the arts and music and responsible consumption, of course.
Again, this is part of your role, which is really unique, that you get to be able to develop these. Obviously, everybody has partners on board. You guys go after smaller partners too, you know, unique and distinct partners that can really contribute. I think you, do you refer them to as the creative collective, or explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so we have a great kind of creative collective. And, you know, this includes not just food and beverage with some amazing chefs and bar personalities. I know Mission 4 Dual Reality, so Seven Fingers, which is a phenomenal production company, kind of helped develop Dual Reality for Virgin Voyages. But this collective is, it's really just, you know, not necessarily like the big name, you know, or the cookbook or this, that, but really those that are out there that are passionate, you know, they're approachable, they're up and coming, or they're established, but, you know, they haven't left working in the kitchen or necessarily behind the bar or creating, right? You know, because, you know, we do love that creation aspect. And, you know, we've got over 20 eateries on board, 6 major restaurants. We don't do the dining hall, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, over 25 bars on board. And, you know, there's a lot of creativity that needs to be involved to avoid, you know, that cookie cutter, or to kind of fall into that kind of tunnel vision of being able to have something unique and fun and different. Because each of the spaces are designed to have its own personality, from a background music to the menu offerings to the decor, even the smell sometimes, you know, from it. But using the collective, it's really to kind of focus on, you know, whether it's a menu or recipe developments, you know, also kind of tying into doing, you know, things where they might be involved with their land-based restaurants. You know, so it is a fun, you know, kind of collective of a group of people that we're very proud to work with to really kind of deliver an amazing approach, again, very land-based to food and beverage.
Obviously, you got a lot of things that you've been working on. I was really intrigued to note that, you know, we as a group, the group I work with, Market Team, has been involved in Vibe for many, many years. And it's kind of what made me kind of think about the cruise industry and an awards program or a recognition program for the cruise industry. But, you know, many of the cruise lines are actually finalists in this year's Vibe Awards, which will be announced shortly. But Virgin is a finalist in more than I've seen in a long time. I noticed you're a finalist in 5 Vibe Awards. Vibe is the beverage conference in the U.S., the most notable beverage kind of industry conference. And I think you're down for a number of different potential awards there, best overall included, which means that would be overall, not just the cruise industry, but best overall in general, you know, at least in the segment, that segment of hospitality. Alcohol-free is another one. What is it that you guys submitted for the alcohol-free program?
a lot of it is, you know, kind of focusing on a few different things. So we have our kind of design bars. You know, you mentioned a few Gym and Tonic and some of these other, you know, kind of spaces on the Ship Athletic Club, you know, the Dock and Dock House, even Razzle Dazzle, where there is a stronger focus on non-alcoholic and more wellness kind of driven selections. It is finding that, you know, that nice balance of, you know, detox, retox, or whatever you want to call it, you know, for, but, you know, from a smoothie selections, from, you know, kind of the typical non-alcoholic, right, kind of offerings that you see across, you know, ships, hotels, restaurants. In addition, you know, we have a strong program, which we're building even further. I mentioned that many of you on No and Low, because we do see that as not just a trend, but, you know, it is something that's here to stay, not just a fad, but definitely a trend. You know, so it's kind of highlighting those program aspects across. Within that, we have what we call happenings, which are activations on board. And, you know, we do have a coffee cupping class. We have What's the Tea, a mildly caffeinated experience, right, for kind of a tea cupping class. We utilize our entertainment team, which we have a persona called the Balancer, or things like the Fitness Guru on board, you know, for our move and flow bevies on the go. So kind of think you're doing some light activity motion around, you know, while maybe stopping for a moment, have a quick little ginger shot and kind of chat health and wellness and nutrition. You know, so it's really more of a holistic approach rather than just saying, here's a smoothie, right? Or here's a cup of coffee. It goes into a great partnership with Intelligentsia Coffee and JoJo Teas. It goes into utilizing entertainment to really drive messaging home, you know, talks on nutrition and you know, talks on kind of wellness. So it's a really more comprehensive approach rather than just giving a menu, right? Which is important as well, because people do look for those offerings in more than one or two.
And then best LTO, you were telling me about 7 C's. Sipper, which I guess is it seven drinks and 7 bars on board? Yeah. Is it like a little essentially a safari on board to some extent?
Yeah, it's a kind of a cocktail scavenger hunt to some degree. Yeah. So the 7 C sippers, which we did a great kind of partnership with Diageo for that one, because it is 7 drinks and 7 different bars. You basically will go to each of the bars, you have the drink, you get a stamp, and then you know, you get this little kind of cool pirate map that kind of takes you around the different areas. And then once you finish all 7 drinks, you know, you have an opportunity to win a secret prize, you know, which I won't tell you what the prize is here. Got to keep some mystery to it. But we do also offer non-alcoholic versions for that as well. You know, because for those that are coming on board that may not want to participate, or 7 drinks, it's not meant to be done in a day. But sometimes, you know, we see people that get, you know,
sometimes you
full of vim and vigor. You know, but also to kind of balance it out. So it really kind of creates like a pathway for those that really wants that kind of foolproof experience, a pathway for those that want that non-alcoholic experience, and also a pathway. And this kind of resonated when you mentioned before, as we're looking at this generational shift where we haven't seen phones again, what is this? But this moderation of consumption is real, right? And we're kind of seeing it in, you know, kind of when I'm in restaurants and looking at kind of check averages and looking at, you know, kind of what people are ordering and things around, you know, for me, I like to be a fly in the wall. But it's, you know, kind of more of a, you know, kind of a sustained drinking as opposed to power drinking, you know, and I think that moderation, you know, is something where people are looking to find that balance of a foolproof cocktail. I'll go to the next place, have a non-alcoholic. Again, it just gives that choice back. And yeah, one of our tenets, you know, for the overall program is giving that choice back and the opportunity to choose your own adventure. But the 7 C sippers is definitely a great one. And we'll be kicking off another one as well this year in July as part of our Eat and Drink Festival.
Well, congrats on all the programs and congrats on the recognition at Vibe, which is held in San Diego. But also F&B at Sea is coming up on April 10th and 11th. The Sea Trade Global Show is on the 8th of April. And of course, it goes right through. And it's exciting to see it being held at the Manna Wynwood Center, Convention Center there. So we're really excited about it. The awards program too. So F&B at Sea awards will be on the 11th. And I hope to see you there, man.
I appreciate it. Definitely plan to be there. It was such a great event last year and very excited to see how it's expanded into this year. And that reminds me, I've got 2 more to submit. So I got 2 in, but yeah, thanks Ken for that one.
Get those in.
You know,
it's a great panel of industry enthusiasts that are judging from all over the industry, from Cal Poly and the Dean of Hospitality to, you know, industry professionals that know the business really, really well, both writers and people that have done the work. So really excited to see how that comes together, and that's not too far off. So good luck on that as well. Charles, really been good chatting with you. Thanks so much for joining the podcast.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day.
SSA Marine is one of the leading cruise terminal operators in North America. With activities at more than 24 port locations, visit us at booth 1433 to learn more about our collaborative approach to development, investment, and operations across a wide array of cruise services.